Coming up, in the super competitive global garment industry, can any factory owner pay a living wage and stay in business? Fred DeSam Lazaro reports on a Chicago businessman who is betting that he can.
There's a business model to doing good and can be good business.
Also, a Judy Valente report on Catholic nuns in Kentucky who tried to head off a pipeline under their farmland and succeeded.
Major funding for Religion and Ethics News Weekly is provided by the Lilly Endowment, an Indianapolis-based private family foundation dedicated to its founders' interest in religion, community development, and education. Additional funding also provided by Mutual of America, designing customized individual and group retirement products. That's why we're your retirement company.
Welcome. I'm Bob Abernethy. It's good to have you with us. Religious groups had mixed reactions to President Obama's State of the Union address. Some praised Obama's call for an increase in the minimum wage. Others, including religious conservatives, argued this would hurt businesses and lead to more unemployment. Also, a broad faith-based coalition pledged to join the president in maintaining pressure on Congress to pass comprehensive immigration reform. Many religious groups were pleased that Obama renewed his call on lawmakers to lift restrictions on transferring prisoners from Guantanamo Bay so the prison could be closed. Interfaith leaders held a vigil outside the Capitol and prayed for an end to the legislative stalemate that has kept Gitmo open. Meanwhile, after months of lobbying on the farm bill, many in the religious community were disappointed by the compromise worked out by House and Senate negotiators. Groups including Bread for the World and the U.S. Catholic Bishops expressed concern about a measure that would cut $8.6 billion, about 1%, in funding for supplemental food assistance over the next 10 years. The group said this would further burden poor and hungry people. Religious groups were also reacting to an updated Pentagon policy on uniform and grooming standards. Orthodox Jews, Muslims, and Sikhs were among those welcoming the new rules relating to religious practices such as wearing beards and head coverings. The military says it will allow those things unless they hurt readiness, good order, and discipline. However, some, including the Sikh coalition, say the new policy still falls short of full accommodation because every request will be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. Faith-based groups are on opposite sides as the Supreme Court prepares to hear arguments surrounding the so-called contraception mandate in the Affordable Care Act. On March 25th, the Supreme Court will hear two cases about whether for-profit businesses with owners who have religious objections to some contraceptives should have to pay for them in their employees' insurance plans. One of those companies is the craft store chain Hobby Lobby, which is owned by an evangelical family. This week, the U.S. Catholic bishops and Southern Baptists were among religious groups filing briefs in support of the businesses, while other faith groups argued that for-profit companies cannot impose their religious beliefs on their employees. In Italy, an unusual theft at a church near Rome where the late Pope John Paul II prayed. It was a case containing a cloth stained with John Paul's blood. Three suspects were arrested. A blood-stained cloth fragment was found in the garage of one of the suspects. We have a special report now on what could turn out to be the very expensive bet of a Chicago businessman. Competition in the global garment industry is so fierce, factory owners say they cannot stay in business if they pay their workers a living wage. But Joe Bozich in Chicago has decided to pay his workers in the Dominican Republic much more than the minimum wage there, hoping that his customers in the U.S. will continue to buy his sportswear because they know his workers are getting fair pay. Fred DeSam Lazaro reports from the Dominican Republic and the University of Notre Dame.
Football is a big moneymaker for Notre Dame University. The storied Fighting Irish name is a lucrative brand in the $4 billion a year business of licensed apparel. In the campus bookstore, one display is trying to stand out in a crowded space.
Every garment has a hang tag on it. It has a picture of one of our employees. One of the hang tags says, my son goes to school because of these clothes. Another one might say, I can afford food, clean water, and medicine for my children when they're sick because of your purchase of these clothes.
Joe Bosich founded the Knights Apparel Company in 2001 and built it into the largest maker of licensed college sportswear. These shirts are made in a tiny corner of the Knights empire, a factory called Alta Gracia that pays people like Manuel Guzman a living wage. Unusual does not begin to describe the factory where Guzman works in the Dominican Republic, a Caribbean nation of nearly 10 million where unemployment exceeds 15%. The factory atmosphere is relaxed. The music is loud.
There is no pressure here to produce all the time. People come here to train us. Lawyers have taught us our rights. Also, we have a union that protects us.
Maritza Vargas is the union steward.
Are the wages sufficient?
See?
Yes, she responded. Wages are based on the cost of living for a family of five, calculated by the country's central bank and adjusted every year for inflation.
Bueno, la educación de mis hijos.
For me, the most important thing is that my children have been able to go to school. I even have my oldest daughter in college.
For Manuel Guzman and his wife, Dina Martinez, his job at Alta Gracia has meant a healthy diet.
He was jobless for 9 months, and we have four kids who don't understand when you tell them there's no milk. So it was difficult. This is such a blessing.
Another blessing they count on is this finished home in place of the half-built shack that once was here.
Workers at the Alta Gracia factory earn about $3 an hour. It might not sound like much, but that's three times the legal minimum wage in the Dominican Republic. And just for comparison, Bangladesh's government just announced that it plans to raise the minimum wage for its garment workers from about 19 cents an hour to about 34 cents per hour.
All around the Alta Gracia factory are reminders of the daunting global competition. Thousands of jobs have moved to lower-cost countries. Alta Gracia's location was once a factory that employed more than 1,000 before its previous owner shut it down. It now has just 130 employees. And Alta Gracia itself is running at just 60% of capacity. In 3 years of operation, it has yet to turn a profit. That doesn't surprise one expert who studied the plant. Georgetown University's John Klein says there have been previous short-lived attempts at living wage factories.
They were small. They didn't have the ability to carry it forward for several years to give it a real test. Joe is big enough with Knights Apparel to back it for long enough to give it a real test.
Knights Apparel founder Joe Bosich says he's in it for the long haul. Garment industry wages and working conditions have come under critical scrutiny, especially after the recent series of deadly fires and accidents in Bangladesh. But Bosich created Alta Gracia much earlier, in 2010. He says a setback in his own health made him especially sympathetic to the plight of garment workers.
Can you imagine what it would be like to know every night that your kids are going to bed hungry, you can only afford one meal a day? I've had some experience that have made me think about those things in my own life, including my own diagnosis with a disease called multiple sclerosis. And the good news for me was, though, I always had hope.
He says there's growing concern among consumers about garment industry conditions, and that's helping the market for ethically produced goods. Alta Gracia apparel is now sold in more than 800 college bookstores. What we don't know yet is how it will fare in this competitive space, says Georgetown's Klein.
A lot of brands are built on reputation by celebrity endorsements. What he's trying to do is build a brand name that gives him pricing advantages on something else, on good worker conditions.
Do we have any inkling yet
about whether that has cachet.
You certainly have a lot of studies that have been done of what people say, that they will pay more for products that they know are made under good labor conditions. I don't know that there are convincing studies that people really follow through on this.
Our informal survey showed some of the challenges. These freshmen said they were sympathetic to the issue of fair trade and workers' rights, but not particularly tuned in.
It's never really something that I've thought about. I'm always aware that things are made in sweatshops and that it happens, but I never really think about it when I'm buying.
For others, price is king.
If you saw two T-shirts that were identical and one said it was made in a living wage factory and one said nothing, would you pay more for the one that said living wage factory?
No, I'd probably buy the one that would be cheaper.
Yeah. You'd buy the one that would be cheaper?
Yeah, probably the cheaper one.
Bozich says he's ready to compete on price, so Altagracia's approach is to not raise its prices or ask for any charity from the consumer, even though higher wages raise its production costs by 20% to 30%.
There's a business model to doing good and can be good business. But we also think there's benefits to our business overall as a result of being involved in this project from a reputational standpoint. We're all aware of the recent tragedies that have transpired in Bangladesh. And as a result of Alta Gracia, there's been a lot of question about, was there anybody doing it differently?
Bozich is trying to market that difference in going after volume sales. Alta Gracia won the bid last year, for example, for 150,000 football-themed shirts sold for a student fundraiser that helps needy students at Notre Dame.
We do see a lot of people who hear about our cause and then just buy the shirt. And so then if they're able to hear about another cause on top of that, it really makes that decision a lot easier.
We definitely market the Alta Gracia aspect. Actually, if I can pick this up. On every tag for the shirt comes with this little hang tag that's half information about the shirt and half information about Alta.
Bozich says high productivity at Alta Gracia and the promise of more business should allow the factory to soon break even.
I think that's going to transpire in 2014. Recently, the National Hockey League has just made the decision to license Alta Gracia. So we'll now be able to produce all of the NHL teams in the Alta Gracia factory and bring that to market.
I would think in the next year or two it will be proven or not proven in the collegiate sector. And I think Joe is already starting to test the waters outside the collegiate sector, and that will be a broader, tougher test.
So much will depend on consumers, he says, on factors as varied as a team's performance, even a news headline from Bangladesh. For Religion and Ethics News Weekly, this is Fred DeSam Lazaro, Alta Gracia in the Dominican Republic.
We have a story today about an order of Catholic nuns in Kentucky, the Sisters of Loretto, who learned that an energy company wanted to run a gas pipeline carrying poisonous waste from fracking under the land the sisters have been farming for 200 years. They organized a very public campaign, and Judy Valente tells the story.
For 200 years, since the time of pioneer homesteaders, the Sisters of Loretto have lived among the rolling hills of central Kentucky. They taught in rural schools and to this day farm and raise cattle on 700 acres of prime agricultural land.
That word trust, I think, is what binds us to this land. This is what we've been entrusted with. And so all over the years, we've always tried to respect what the land gives.
The sisters would have liked to continue quietly caring for their land, but for this. The process known as fracking, the hydraulic fracturing of bedrock, followed by the forcing of massive amounts of pressurized water, chemicals, and sand into the earth to release oil and natural gas. Fracking for natural gas is becoming increasingly common throughout the U.S. Much of the gas is then shipped to the Gulf of Mexico for export. That means there has to be pipelines to not only transport the gas, but its more toxic and flammable byproducts, propane, butane, and ethane, which is where the Loreto sisters come in.
When Catholic sisters began speaking out against the transport of natural gas byproducts through underground pipelines, they generated national attention.
Even in Alaska, for instance, Las Vegas, Louisville, several times, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Austin, Texas, San Francisco, Portland, Oregon, I mean, you name it, there it is. These pipelines could pollute the air, could ruin the water, and ruin the land, and you can't have food if you can't grow it on the land.
In a classic David versus Goliath battle, the Loreto sisters managed to beat back an effort by the Williams Companies of Tulsa and their partners to place a pipeline underneath their land. Since then, these 70-plus-year-old sisters have become the unlikely face of opposition to both fracking and to the pipelines that carry their byproducts.
We are hoping to accomplish a process of education that will help people to understand what they're dealing with. What are we doing to our natural resources, and who owns the natural resources? I mean, that's a big question behind this, because I feel now that corporations feel that they own the air, own the water, own it enough that they can pay you to take a piece of it.
This part of the country is known as the Kentucky Holy Land. It got that name because four major religious orders are located here, including the famous Abbey of Gethsemane, America's oldest monastery, where the monk and spiritual writer Thomas Merton lived. It is also home to the Dominican Sisters of Peace and the Sisters of Charity of Nazareth. All three orders joined the Loreto Sisters in opposing the Bluegrass Pipeline. The result? The pipeline builders now have to largely skirt the counties where these religious orders are located. This, despite offering payments reportedly as high in one case as $350,000 to purchase easements from property owners. Williams Companies declined to comment on camera, but issued this statement. We are experts at designing, building, and operating pipelines in a safe and reliable manner. Our highest priority is the safety of the public and our employees. We can assure the public that we will meet or exceed all federal safety requirements.
I guess my fear is damage to the environment, and damage that is difficult to repair, and maybe even not able to repair, of soil, of water, of air. We were given a place, this planet, these trees, this grass, these animals, ourselves, to be healthy people, to be balanced and healthy. And I see an imbalance in what's happening, both to our resources and to ourselves.
In these parts, it's not just what grows on top of the land that's important, it's also what's under the land, porous limestone, known as karst, and water, which are integral to distilling bourbon. This is also the bourbon capital of America. The Maker's Mark Distillery is just down the road from the Loreto Sisters. Jim Beam and Four Roses distilleries aren't far away. Those companies so far are remaining out of the fray about the pipeline. Dominican Sister of Peace Claire McGowan is a local environmental activist.
The pipe is 3/16 of an inch. That's not a very thick pipe. And they only require 3 feet of soil on top of that pipe. On farmland, where somebody's out plowing, somebody's out disking, somebody's out with a combine, it seems to be pretty easy that accidentally that pipe could be ruptured.
There have been several pipeline explosions in recent years, including one in eastern Kentucky in 2004 that destroyed 5 homes and injured 12 people. That pipeline wasn't operated by Williams Companies, but by one of its competitors.
For its part, Williams has paid more than $300 million since 2003 for violations ranging from failure to report financial information to improper maintenance of its pipelines. In its statement, the company said, "While our goal is zero leaks, our leak record during the past decade is much lower than the industry average." Williams said that despite the sister's opposition, it has purchased easements for 50% of the route and plans to complete construction of the pipeline through Kentucky by the end of 2015. Like the teachers they've long been, the sisters are transforming the conflict over the pipeline into a learning experience.
What we're hoping for is an immediate awareness that we have to start the transition to renewable energy sources.
Meaning?
Meaning solar, wind, water power, the ways of producing energy that do not require the use of fossil fuels.
The Loretto sisters welcome hundreds of guests to their property each year. They talk about sustainable farming and recycling to preserve resources. They built a series of cabins made of wood and recycled materials for guests to use on spiritual retreats. Susan Clausen is director of the Sisters' Cedars of Peace retreat program.
The recognition that we humans need nature, that the Spirit of God in nature settles our spirit, it brings us back to a grounded place so that our action in the world can really come from a place that has been energized by God.
People that come for retreat, they say, I come to the bottom of the hill and already I can feel that there's a peacefulness that's here with me. Over the years, think of it, from 1824, how many people have come here to find something that's outside of me, but that makes me more me, that makes me more whole. I'm going to come, I'm going to look at the trees, I'm going to quiet my mind, and I'm going to be at peace for a while. That pipeline goes in. You would destroy that tranquility that I feel is needed.
The sisters say they aren't surprised by the attention their protest has generated, nor should people be surprised at their willingness to speak out. They say it's just what Catholic sisters do. For Religion and Ethics News Weekly, I'm Judy Valente in Loretto, Kentucky.
Animal rights groups called on Pope Francis this week to put an end to the practice of releasing doves from his window. Like his predecessors, Francis regularly releases the doves as a ceremonial sign of peace. But last week, two doves released from the papal apartment were immediately attacked by a seagull and a crow. The National Animal Protection Agency in Italy said the doves are defenseless. The group urged the Vatican to stop using the animals for, quote, outdated traditions. A surprising Oscar nomination has been rescinded for a song used in a little-known Christian film. The song, Alone Yet Not Alone, which comes from a film of the same name, had been nominated for Best Original Song. However, the Academy's Board of Governors said the composer had improperly used his influence to promote the song, thus disqualifying it from consideration. The song was performed by evangelical author and singer Johnny Erickson Tada, a quadriplegic with just 50% lung capacity. On our calendar, memorials were held around the world this week in honor of International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Delegations from Israel, the United States, and Europe visited Auschwitz in Poland to commemorate the liberation of the Nazi death camp there 69 years ago. And Lunar New Year began this week with celebrations around the world, especially in Asia. This is the Year of the Horse, which is said to bring prosperity. Finally, there was an outpouring of tributes this week for Pete Seeger, the great folk singer who died last Monday at the age of 94.
Where have all the flowers gone?
Seeger believed that music unites people. He used his music to support causes he believed in, for civil rights, against war. He was also humble. One of his admirers wrote in the Washington Post, "The song was always much more important to Pete than he was."
When will they end?
That's our program for now. I'm Bob Abernethy. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and watch us anytime on the PBS app for iPhones and iPads. And visit our website, where there's always much more and where you can also listen to or watch each of our programs. Join us at pbs.org. As we leave you, more music from the late Pete Seeger.
Major funding for Religion and Ethics News Weekly is provided by the Lilly Endowment, an Indianapolis-based private family foundation dedicated to its founders' interest in religion, community development, and education. Additional funding also provided by Mutual of America, designing customized individual and group retirement products. That's why we're your retirement company.
Be more. PBS.